Meanwhile, Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. Our tendency, my tendency, is to jump to the end of the story as quickly as possible, because we all want a happy ending and want to know, is it true? Is it possible? But stories have their own rhythm and pacing and integrity. And so just for a moment, linger with me over this tiny detail. Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. That had not been her first response. That had been to go and alert the disciples that something was wrong, that Jesus' tomb had been opened, and she had no explanation for it. No explanation for why his body was gone and what might have become of it. The disciples race to see for themselves, peer in cautiously and timidly, then enter the tomb, take note of the discarded grave clothes, then return home, not quite sure what to make of what they have seen. They do not stop to talk it over or speculate on what it might mean. They do not stop to ask Mary for her opinion or even to thank her for bringing them the news. For all practical purposes, it's as if she's invisible to them or irrelevant. And perhaps that was true. But meanwhile, Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. Mary, who had already made the trip three times that morning, once on her own, once to find and inform the disciples, once to go with them back to the grave, Mary stood off to the side, lost in her tears, consumed by her grief. After the men are gone, Mary stoops and looks into the grave herself. And as she does so, an angel catches her eye, then a second one. Before she has time to react, they speak to her. Woman, why are you weeping? If our goal today is to put ourselves in Mary's place, to stand where she stood in hope of seeing what she saw, then perhaps the Easter story begins here with the question, why are you weeping? Such a simple question, and such an essential one. Heaven knows we have much to weep about. Our disappointments and failures in life, the losses and betrayals we have suffered, hopes and dreams that have come up empty, a world where violence and cold-blooded, cold-hearted cruelty continue to dominate, a world where prejudice and inequality push people down and out, the mess we have made of life and relationships. We weep for aging parents and bullied teenagers. We weep for children who have not yet found their way in life, and for middle-aged men and women who have lost their way. We weep for victims of violence and for those who think violence of any kind is the only answer. We weep for battered women and abused children. We weep for those whose poverty deprives them of fullness of life, and for those whose riches mask a deeper hunger and poverty. We weep for those who have found nothing to believe in, and for those who believe only in themselves. We weep for ourselves, for reasons we know and reasons we do not know. The list goes on and on. Heaven knows we have much to weep about. And so according to John's gospel, the first words spoken by the angels are not, "He is not here, he is risen," or even the familiar, "Fear not," but a simple, straightforward, honest question, "Why are you weeping?" These are not the words of an exasperated mother or babysitter or big brother, "Oh, quit your crying, there's nothing wrong," but a heartfelt invitation from heaven to name the broken places in our lives and in the world. Not to jump too quickly to the end of the story, or to settle for a glib, superficial, happy Easter, but to acknowledge the tears we shed every day because of all the things that we cannot fix or cure or repair. And lest you think I make too much of these words, when Mary turns away from the tomb, she hears the exact same words coming from Jesus, whom she no longer recognizes. "Woman," he says, "why are you weeping?" He does not attempt to dry her tears or to brush her grief aside, but lets his heart reach out to hers. Or to put it differently, the Easter story is always watered with our tears. While Easter may be a time for celebrating and rejoicing in the victory of life over death, its most profound impact is in the places of our deepest pain and loss and heartache. If we, like Mary, want to find and experience Jesus today, we must go to the places of tears and dare to ask the simple question, "Why are you weeping?" Several years ago, journalist and publisher Neil White wrote a powerful and riveting memoir called In the Sanctuary of Outcasts, in which he tells the story of his fall from grace and the tear-streaked redemption he found in the most unlikely of places, at the doorstep of death in the company of the last leper colony in the U.S. Until the moment of his shocking demise, Mr. White had been an outwardly successful and ambitious businessman and social climber, and then one day it all came crashing down. All of his lies and pretenses and scams were made public. And in the blink of an eye, his sham turned to shame. No longer able to keep his scheming and transgressions secret, his sins and crimes were laid bare for all to see. It cost him everything: his business, his reputation, his home, his family. It was as complete a disgrace and humiliation as you could imagine. And at the end, three final indignities: a conviction for bank fraud and check kiting, a prison sentence and loss of freedom, and imprisonment in a federal jail that doubled as a residence for disfigured and unwanted lepers. At the beginning of his prison term, Mr. White continued a lifelong pattern of assuming he was different, better, smarter, superior, somehow entitled to more than everyone else around him, certainly better than these lifelong convicts and cast-away lepers. But as days turned to weeks and months turned to years, slowly his pride and self-delusion begin to erode and fall away as surely as the fingers and toes and noses of the lepers he comes to know. The ones who gradually take him into their confidence and their community. Instead of pitying them, instead of looking down on them, instead of feeling sorry for them or feeling sorry for himself, he comes to appreciate the strength and courage and grace that have enabled them to keep going in spite of their difficulties. And he comes through them to recognize and accept his own brokenness, his own limitations, his own failings. Which, according to the Bible, that recognition is not only the start of wisdom, but the start of new life. Near the end of the book, as he readies to leave Carville Prison, he turns to look back upon it one last time, and upon his newfound friend, Ella. He writes, "I wanted to remember my good fortune. A prison anywhere else might have been lost time, but most of all, I wanted to remember Ella, every detail. The way she cranked the antique wheelchair handles, the way she twisted in her chair at the dance, the way she turned her disease, the most shameful known to man, into something sacred. At some point after I settled back home, I would take Ella's advice and find a church, not just any church, a place like the church at Carville, where the parishioners were broken and chipped and cracked. A place to go when I needed help. A place to ask forgiveness, a sacred place where people were not consumed with image or money. I didn't know if a church like that existed. But if it did, I would go. And I would pray. Not the kind of prayers I used to say for miracles or money or advancement. I would ask for something more simple. I would pray for recollection. Pray that I would never forget." Today, Easter Sunday, you and I celebrate Jesus rising from the dead and the door he opens to glorious new life for each and every one of us. But before we get there, before we sing and shout hallelujah, we hear his soft, tender voice. "Woman, why are you weeping? Man, why are you weeping?" You and I do have good news to shout to all the world this day, but that good news follows a simple question we need to ask ourselves and others. Why are you weeping? Perhaps we have no right to proclaim that Jesus is risen and alive unless we first take the time to ask, "Why are you weeping?" and then wait to hear the response. And when we hear that answer, then our alleluia, "Christ is risen," makes all the sense and all the difference in the world.